And like I said, be active in inviting people next week, and let's expect and pray for God to do some amazing things. We'll be in John chapter 11 next week with Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Just a tremendous story about the victory over death that Jesus brings and what he purchased by his death and resurrection as well. So it's going to be a phenomenal week next week, and I'm really excited about it. I hope you will be as well. So that gets us set it up. Let's start over again. That gets us set up well for this week. If we're going to be in John 11 next week, that means we're leading up to John 11 this week. So we're actually going to be in chapters 9 and 10 this week. And just real briefly in 9, because I thought about just going straight to chapter 10, but I just couldn't do it because chapter 9 is so cool. Jesus heals a man that was born blind. Blind all the way from birth. He's never been able to see in his entire life. And at the beginning of chapter 9, I'm just going to give you the real quick summary of what's going on. Jesus does a work of healing. Verse 6, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Okay, it does sound a little gross, I understand, but this is how Jesus chose to do it. I don't think the guy cared, okay? He couldn't see, then he could see. He's like, okay, put the spit on my eyes. I'll deal with the germs or whatever. So Jesus does this, then the guy goes and washes in the pool of Siloam, and he came home seeing, is what verse 7 says. His neighbors and everybody that knew him, they couldn't believe what had happened. They're like, is this the same guy? It looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man, and how are your eyes open? And they asked. So he tells them the story. And then it goes into this account of how the Pharisees and the religious leaders that have been opposing Jesus in John's gospel up to the time we've reached now deal with this situation, because you know that they don't want Jesus' popularity to rise. They don't want people to hear that he's doing great and amazing things. So they're kind of like, what are we going to do? This blind guy can see now, and Jesus healed him. How are we going to deal with this? So they bring the guy in for questioning, and this guy, man, he gives some incredible answers to the Pharisees and religious leaders. If we look down just a little bit, I'm looking in John chapter 9. Look at verse 17. They turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. So what's your opinion about Jesus? And the man replied, he is a prophet. So he doesn't know much about Jesus. He just knows that he could see now. They still did not believe he had been blind and received his sight. So they sent for the man's parents. So they're like, this guy's just making it up. Jesus put him up to this. And the parents come in, and verse 20, we know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or open his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. Really colorful exchange here. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So you hear about like the trial with the predetermined outcome. They already know what they're going to decide before they ask the question. So the parents are afraid to ask. So verse 24, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth. He said, we know this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus. We know Jesus is a sinner. Tell the truth about what happened. Tell him that he paid you some money to act like you had been blind or something like that. How did he put you up to this, they want to know. And verse 25, this is an amazing answer. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I don't get into that. I just met him today. Don't ask me what he did last week. I don't know. I can't testify about that, the guy says. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? So they're like, okay, well, fine. We're not getting anywhere with that line of questioning. Well, how did he do it? Tell us the method that he used. Like, who cares about that anyway? And, they're just trying to figure out a way to trip him up. Verse 27, I've told you already, and you did not listen. This guy's not afraid of these Pharisees. I mean, he's seeing now. His problem's fixed. He doesn't have much care for what these Pharisees think right now. I've told you already, and you did not listen. Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? That's a fantastic response, isn't it? Why do you keep asking me about it? Are you trying to figure out so you can follow him too? And that just makes him furious. You know, then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." A couple chapters ago, they were claiming that they knew where he came from and who his parents were and this kind of stuff. Now, we don't know where he comes from, quote unquote, right? So the man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will." Listen to this guy that's been blind for his whole life, lecturing the Pharisees and religious leaders, telling them truth that they ought to already know, but they willingly blinded themselves to. They don't want to know who Jesus is. They don't care. He's messing up their story and their plan, and they just don't care. So the blind guy, what used to be blind, he's going to tell them, "This is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." That's some good sense he's talking there. "To this," they replied, "you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" Every angle of attack they've tried has utterly failed. So what do they resort to? Personal attack. "You are blind. You are born blind. You are steeped in sin at birth." And what for a moment had been almost comical, willful blindness now becomes demonic aggression at the man who won't say what they want him to say. "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" But you know what Jesus had said back at the end of the chapter? People were looking at the man born blind and they asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" You know, that's a popular way of looking at religion and the way that God works, is that when we're good and we do nice things, then God does nice things for us. He treats us well, bad things don't happen. But when we're bad, when we do evil things, then God throws down the lightning bolt at us, or he hurts us or hurts our family or makes somebody be born blind or something like that. That's what all man-made religions teach about God. That you do good things, God blesses you. You do bad things, God does bad things to you. And that's what they thought here today. In fact, that's what the Pharisees teach here. "You can't lecture us. You were steeped in sin at birth. You were born blind. Look at you. Either you sinned or your parents sinned. Something happened." But what was Jesus' answer when they said that? Look back in chapter 9, the beginning of the chapter, verse 3. John 9, 3. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Jesus completely turns on its head the way that we expect religion and relating to God to work. He said, the man was born blind, and it didn't have anything to do with him sinning or his parents sinning. It had nothing to do with that. It wasn't some kind of divine punishment on him. God had a purpose to work out in his life, and up until this time, nobody's known what it was. It just seemed like a terrible tragedy. But then along came Jesus, the Son of God, Messiah, one day, and he heals the man to prove his glory, who he is, and God's glory is displayed in this action. And all of this life, all of his life, the man's been blind and couldn't see, had a difficult time, hard life, all of this so that God's glory in this one moment could shine so brightly and the account could be preserved for us in Scripture thousands of years later. God's glory was going to be on display, and that's why this thing happened. The fact is, we don't know why bad things happen sometimes. We don't know why good things happen sometimes. A lot of times good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. But a lot of the Bible is, especially the wisdom literature, is designed to answer the question of why do bad things happen to good people and why do good things happen to bad people? That's just the reality of life. And we, just like these Pharisees, start treading on very, very thin ice, very dangerous territory, when we start to say, well, this happened as a punishment from God. And we have to be, in fact, that's probably an area that we should never go. And particularly when you hear religious leaders or pastors say something like, God sent this hurricane for that reason. Or God did this natural disaster to punish so-and-so for their sin. And there have been some obvious examples of that in the last 10 and 20 years that I hope that you're aware of. Or I don't hope.